across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Well, I'm looking out of the window right now, and I'm seeing some remarkable autumn weather, really. It's been raining really hard, and then very quickly it got sunny and started to look quite almost spring-like. Now it's sort of greyed over a bit, with some little flecks of sunshine in there, if you can have sunshine flecks, and it's raining again. So I think that's probably a sign of things to come, but I'm not even going to think about it. Thank you very much for all of your communications. Please keep them coming. I love to hear from you. Please go to my website, theunexplained.tv, designed and maintained by Adam, and you can send me an email from there, guest suggestion, whatever you want to do. Let me know what you think about the show. I love to hear from you. You are very much keeping me afloat these days, and I know that a lot of you are telling me that the show is important to you too. And so many emails from people saying that it's kept them going over the last, 18 months or 2 years of the madness the world has been living through. So that is very gratifying to know. The guest on this edition of my show, I want to let you hear a radio interview, one from my radio show. Dr. Linda Backman, she's been on the radio and I think also video an awful lot in the United States, talking about past life regressions, but also your past soul life. You ever sit there and you wonder, what's this all about? Where am I going? And perhaps more importantly, what comes next? If you're an impatient soul like me, then you get some potential answers, I think, in the conversation that follows with Dr. Linda Backman in the United States. And thank you to her for being part of my show. Thank you to you for your communications, though. Don't forget, when you get in touch with me, please tell me. Well, you can tell you if you want. Please tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use this show. Okay, from my radio show then, past lives, future lives, and your soul's position in the whole scheme of things, with Dr. Linda Backman. I think since there have been people on this planet, those early people have probably sat under the stars, looked up into the sky, and if they had any time in between fighting off bears and keeping the fire going, they've probably wanted to ask themselves, who am I in the overall scope of things? How did I get here? What am I here to do? And what happens when this is over, if the bear gets me? And those thoughts, of course, continue, especially at times like the ones that we've been living through over the last 18 months or so. So I thought, having heard her on the radio in America, we would talk with psychologist, researcher, author, and hypnotic regression therapist, Dr. Linda Backman, who, as you will hear, Linda has ranged through a vast array of different areas, including regression into past lives and your higher self. I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation. Let's get to the United States now, to the Mountain Time Zone, and talk with Dr. Linda Backman. Linda, thank you very much for coming on.
It is my great pleasure, Howard, to be with you.
Now, I hope I may call you Linda. Please call me Howard.
Yes, Linda is fine.
Okay, I jumped in there without asking. That's great. All right. Linda, let me ask you this. Recently, I've talked to an awful lot of people who look into fields adjacent to the ones that you look into, or even closer than that. And more and more of them seem to be, like yourself, qualified professional people with qualifications in fields like, you know, psychotherapy, psychiatry, whatever. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that this field is becoming more professionalized?
Oh, that is an excellent question. And I think that the professionalization that you're talking about, at least in my opinion, is growing. But from my vantage point, and obviously we live in two different countries, but we live very much in the developed world, I think it's gradual. By the same token, Howard, I understand a lot, if I can put it that way, about the guidance system, you might call it. I can say more about that while we're talking. I think the higher wisdom, we might put it that way, the energies of higher beings, I think they're pushing us as incarnate souls to understand more deeply who and why we are, and if in fact maybe somebody who's, you know, this person with a credential or, you know, whatever that credential might be, maybe there's some credibility to to what we say. So I wonder if higher wisdom is pushing on those of us with, you might say, formal educational backgrounds.
I wonder whether part of it is that there is a coming realization that science, although it's wonderful, you know, it's created the modern world in which we live, it doesn't have the answer to everything. And simultaneously running with that is the harmonization of some parts of science and some things that we used to think of as a bit kind of, you know, airy-fairy and out there.
I think that's true. And, you know, there's a lot of formal research, which I'm sure you're aware of, formal research, not just, you know, in the U.S., but abroad, that's looking at what is consciousness? How do we measure consciousness? And researchers with, you know, we might say fancy credentials with two PhDs or, you know, whatever it might be, there's a lot more formal research rather than what would be the forerunner of all that, which is the technical term that people use is that materialism. Physics uses the term materialism, meaning what can I taste, touch, smell, you know, see, blah, blah, as opposed to, well, what about research where someone who is a channel or a medium and they can talk to you about your twice great grandfather and only you know these quips about that grandfather from, you know, the long line of your family. So, but I think we're looking to understand life more than in, you know, the past hundreds of years.
Problem is, there's a dearth of evidence out there, isn't there?
And I think along with the dearth of evidence is skepticism. And as you well know, I think we have a lot of information going out, especially in our developed countries, that may not be valid, but people are believing because X person on X television program said this. So it's complicated. It's complicated.
It is. I want to talk for the rest of this segment. I think it will be fascinating to get the story about you, about what took you from obviously a professional path into looking at people's higher selves, past life regressions, and those sorts of things. I'm assuming, but it might be too big an assumption, I might be wrong, that you didn't start out doing this.
Absolutely not. I didn't start out doing this, and in fact, none of this perspective, you know, from which I come at this time was part of my life until 28, 29 years ago when I was in my middle 40s. So the story made short is that when I was about 46, as I always tell the story, I was minding my own business as a psychologist in general private practice, doing the things that, I mean, obviously your world in UK obviously is socialized medicine, and of course in US, not socialized medicine. So a general psychologist in the United States, you know, works with everything from career choices to relationship problems to depression, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So long story made short, in 1993, I was in a group practice of psychologists and psychiatrists here in the U.S., actually then in the state of Arizona. And sadly, my original psychologist colleague, a man in his early 30s, died from a type of lung cancer. We were great friends, great colleagues. Our daughter babysat for his young daughter. I mean, we were that kind of friends and colleagues. He died in the spring of 93. And when he died, Howard, within about 48 hours, I started having what I would call spiritual experiences that had never in my conscious mind happened for me before. And what happened was I could sense him talking to me from the other side. I could sense his energy. I knew just you might say a smidgen about reincarnation, didn't know if I believed in it. So I sensed him talking to me. And in my mind's eye, I believe that I began to see scenes of past lives again in my mental intuition. So I thought, well, you know, either the psychologist, you know, Linda Bachman here is kind of needing a psychologist, or there's some reality to this. And so the piece that I know was intended, but I always have to insert this piece. So I thought to myself, well, okay, I need to explain this to my husband. I'd already been married to my husband for about 25 years. I am still married to that same partner in my life. And so I asked my husband to sit down and I said, I have to tell you, you know, what's going on for me. And as someone might say to their spouse, and honey, if you want to tell me that this is all weird and crazy and you want me to stop talking about it, you know, you can tell me that. So I explained to my husband, Earl, what I was experiencing. And he looked back at me and I could see from the expression on his face. And I said, you don't think this is strange, do you? Which completely surprised me. We had never talked about reincarnation in our lives. My husband is also rather formally educated. He was an academic professor. That was his career for many, many years. So I said to Earl, you don't think this is strange, do you? And he said, no, just very calmly. And I said, why don't you think this is strange? And bottom line is, he said, here's why. And Earl said to me on that very day back in 93, he said, only now do I remember something that occurred for me when I was a boy. And I said, what do you mean? And he said back to me, only now do I recall that when I was about age 10, I remembered my past lives in detail. I knew they were real. Don't ask me how I knew that, but I never told anyone because I thought they would think I was the strangest, you know, kid in the neighborhood. And so Earl said, I forgot about that. And he basically said, so if you're interested in this, go for it.
And what would you have done if he'd said to you, I don't know exactly what year this was, but in previous years, there was more skepticism than perhaps there is now. If he'd said to you, I think that's a load of hooey, what would you have done?
That's a really great question. It's hard to say, except that I think it would have slowed me way down. And, you know, because I feel like now, 28 plus years later, because of all my client work, I understand the soul, I understand spiritual guides, and you know, other things that have come from numerous clients. So I think there were two processes occurring simultaneously. Here's these two human people, you know, sitting together, husband and wife, Linda and Earl, talking. But we're also supported and guided at the soul level. So I think I guess my best answer, Howard, to your question is, I think it would have slowed me down, but given how passionate and fascinated I am with everything that surrounds the topics, you know, we're going to talk about today, I'm not sure it would have kept me from moving forward ultimately.
Okay. As we close out this segment, talk to me if you can, and if you would, Linda, about your colleague who passed and his communication with you. You know, some people might say, well, grief can do very, very strange things. And the human mind, as you will know much better than I know, is a remarkable object we still don't fully understand. So, you know, how was it that he made clear to you that it really was him, he really was somewhere else, and he really was communicating with you?
I think that, you know, if we could bring in, you know, 10 to 20 people that would stand in front of us, Howard, and let's just say at least 75% of these 10 to 20 people have had a special loved one or more than one special loved one pass. And we said to them, how many of you have felt the energy of your loved one? And the ones that said yes, and this is the thing, which I know we'll talk more as we move into to the future segments as we're conversing with each other, but it's like that feeling that you have that you can't explain, but it's a deeper sense of knowing. And I think getting into then further conversation about how do we validate as best we can validate these kinds of experiences.
How did you validate that one? How did you try to?
Well, it continued. The intuitive conversation, the intuitive connection with my colleague continued. And you know, this is, as you ask me questions, then I start remembering all the steps that happened 28 years ago. So about a week to 10 days later, I said to myself, thinking this was a crazy thing to think as a psychologist, I've got to go find someone in my community that is a capable channel or medium, a capable intuitive person that, you know, does quote unquote readings for people. So long story short, I went down to the local spiritual bookstore, this sweet little purple house with all kinds of fascinating books. And I had been told that the woman that ran the bookstore was intuitive. She channeled for me a few days later. And basically, I told her nothing about my colleague. She had never met my colleague. And she told me information about him that she would have had no way of knowing, including validating some of the intuitive conversation that he was having with me. And that helped spur me on.
Why do you think that he, rather than perhaps if he had family and close family, why do you think he picked you to come back to?
Great question. Well, I think one of the reasons, among probably more than one reason, but one of the reasons that as the years, as I forged ahead into this type of work, I came to understand that I had had many past lives with the soul of my colleague. So we'd known each other long before we met in life today.
Right. Okay. So I think we're going to get into this, aren't we, in the next segment as we wrap up this one, that's the big picture. That communication was part of a bigger picture that you say exists for everybody, whether they acknowledge it or not.
It's a huge picture, if you want to put it that way, which we'll get into. And as of course, I slowly but surely became a believer in this type of understanding about soul and reincarnation and why we come into body and how we plan our lives and so on and so forth. Yeah.
We're going to be talking about various things, including soul regression, past lives, and all of that other stuff. If you say to me that you're not interested in this, then I accept what you say. But I ask you, are you sure you've never thought about this? Because in my lifetime, I've met very few people who really haven't. And very few people who say that they believe that the end of this life, and they might be right. I don't know. I have yet to find out. So do you. I've met a few people who've said, well, you know, life, the end of it is just a closing of a door. It's oblivion and that's it. Personally, and it's only my personal view, I never believed that. And I've had a certain amount of interesting things happen to me through my life that might sway me in that direction. Dr. Linda Backman, let's get back to her. So, Linda, I don't know, this is such a big area that we're going to go into, so I need your guidance here. But the idea that this life that we lead here is part of some kind of continuum, and it goes on afterwards, and it was there beforehand, it may have been different. That's a pretty big thing to lay on people, isn't it?
Well, Dr. Linda Backman, at this stage of her life, would say no. This is my world. This is the work I've done for so long. And sometimes, yes, I remember back to being unaware of reincarnation and thinking I was going to spend the rest of my working life as a general psychologist. But I've had so many experiences, both personally and professionally, that I have absolutely. I mean, if I can be this bold, Howard, and I need to be, because I believe in this so much, and I have no doubt that we've lived before, we will live again, and there's absolute purpose to living before and living again.
Okay. I mean, I would ask, how can you know that? And that's a little question with a great big answer, I suspect.
No, I love that. No, I mean, and I love questions because questions open up, it's like a flower that just gets bigger and bigger as it blossoms. But so because I've been guiding clients in what I call soul regression since late 93, early 94. And I've been guiding clients week in and week out. I mean, yes, of course, do I take, as you would say in UK holidays, and we say here in the US vacations, sure, do I take breaks? But I've guided more than one client a week for years and years and years. I don't give the information. So I have nothing against mediums, channels. There are some fabulous mediums and channels in our world who are very skilled, but I guide the client to discover their own information and speak the information to me for their benefit, certainly not for my personal life's benefit in terms of growing and evolving and that sort of thing. But so I've had far too many experiences that support all of this content. And, you know, I often say, especially if I'm talking to someone who also has all this, you know, fancy formal education, which is not essential to do this work. I will say that for sure. Lots of people do this type of work very, very beautifully without, you know, being, you know, doctor anybody or any kind of fancy and formal graduate education. But the bottom line is that I do this in a case study method. And what that means if you're studying research is that each client's experience is a package of information. And if I hear 10 clients, 20 clients sharing similar information, which is what my original mentor did years and years ago, then if I've heard it from 10, 15, 20 clients that this is one of the things that may happen when we die, then there has to be validity from a formal research perspective.
And this is, as somebody who's qualified in this, this is while you're doing hypnotic regression, is it?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, to go back to something you asked in the first segment, and I always want people to understand you don't have to be a psychologist to do this kind of work. I just happen to have that background. But as a psychologist, there are things that their experiences that are explained through regression, whether it's an illness, a relationship, a fear, a skill that you don't understand why you have it, or being drawn to a new type of work. So I've just, you know, again, we could talk for hours, but I look for where do I hear similar kinds of information client to client to client.
Okay, that's a lot to unpick. You yourself said that you had, when you have people in this situation on a professional basis in your room, wherever you practice, you said that you hear common stories about what happens when we die, and those threads are very similar case to case to case. What is it that people tell you?
What I would say virtually always occurs is that when I'm guiding a regression, and if I'm guiding, I guide two types of regressions, but if I'm guiding the longer type of regression, then I support and guide the client. They discover whatever past life in detail that their spiritual guides and their soul or their higher self, another way of speaking about our soul when we're in body, they discover the past life they're meant to discover in that regression. I don't choose the past life. That is absolutely for sure. They move through the past life scene by scene by scene. It's however many scenes they're meant to discover, but ultimately we go all the way to the death scene. And I teasingly say to clients as I'm preparing them before the regression, I'll say, well, you know, today you're going to die in this session. And of course, what I mean is they're going to die in the past life. So we go all the way to the point of the death or the passing in the past life. And then the client literally experiences that slice, that fractal, that holographic portion of soul that had been in that past life body that caused them to be alive, that slice of, you know, soul energy, divine energy, however people want to term that, leaves the body. It speeds up its frequency, elevates, exits from the non-functional body, and moves through, we might say speeds up his frequency and moves through the higher dimensions that people sometimes call third, fourth, and fifth dimension. Yeah, and that's
what... When you say, Linda, speeds up its frequency, I don't quite understand that.
Well, My understanding, again, from numerous clients, is that when we pass, when our, you know, cardiopulmonary functions of the body are no longer working, that aspect of soul that lives within our body, it literally increases its frequency. If you could measure the frequency, the energy of the soul, of that slice of soul, that energy increases and elevates and returns and steps back in to the full complement of their soul, almost like reconstitutes into the higher self. So when we're alive, like here are Howard and Linda talking, each of us has a higher self or I'm going to back up a step. It's hard, you know, complicated concept.
Is it like then, if we were trying to find an easy peg to hang it on so that you know, even somebody like me can understand it, is it a bit like being an actor? You know, your profession is actor, but for 6 weeks you might be playing Shakespeare. Then you're an actor again. Then you're cast into another role. Perhaps you're playing a character in one of the Harry Potter films, or maybe you're playing, I don't know, a murderer or a savior of the planet or whatever. And then you're back to being an actor again. Can we say that the higher self, then the soul, is the actor and the role is what you do when you're here?
Let me describe it in terms of a little bit of mathematics, because I think that'll help. That'll make more sense. So let's just say that currently Linda's soul is not incarnate. So 100% of my soul energy is in what we would call the spiritual realm, the higher realm. So then Linda's soul decides to incarnate. A percentage of my soul energy, and it's holographic with the remainder of my soul. So let's just put a number to it. So 35% of my soul energy at the point of, and it happens during pregnancy. We could talk about that if you want, but during pregnancy, as my mother is carrying this developing baby in her womb, 35% of my soul connects with that developing child's body.
And that's what caught 5%.
That's right. Exactly.
That's a very specific figure.
Well, And I'm using that as an example. I could give you, this is why our conversation could go on and on. That is a question that sometimes is asked in the regression. So X client, when you prepared to come into body as Susan, how did you plan your current life? What were the intentions? This is content we learn in regression. And what percentage of your soul did you choose to bring and why? That's a question that's asked in regression.
Okay. So there's a bit of you and a bit of me left over on the other side, whatever that might be.
Yes, exactly. Because our higher self, your higher self, my higher self, is one of our spiritual guides. And the more evolved our higher self, or the more evolved our soul, another way to say it, we serve as one of the guides to our incarnation.
Okay. And this process of pre-birth, when you're somewhere else, having been something else beforehand, and it's decided, or you're deciding what you're going to do in your next incarnation, in your next appearance here, how does all of that work? I mean, that's giving me a small headache. It sounds baffling.
I would say not as baffling as you might think. We are, and let me just be sure listeners understand, I didn't pluck this information out of the air. I learned this originally from a mentor many, many years ago who began this style of work and began to guide this type of work for years and write about it. Mm-hmm. And then I picked up and moved forward and you know, began the work myself.
But you also say the people who come to you are telling you this. They're telling you that's how things are.
That is exactly, yes, that's exactly how regression goes, is that the client is telling me, I'm not telling them. I never know what will come forward in a regression. I've learned a lot, so I understand the soul and reincarnation, and you know, as pre-birth is a great term that you use, pre-birth planning. But yes, we plan our lives each time with purpose.
sitting here right now, and I've said this before jokingly on air, but I mean it. You know, I've had wonderful experiences and achievements here. I've had some lousy experiences and met some truly vile people. But, you know, most of it's been better than that. But I don't really want to come back. Would I have the free will? Would any of us have the free will to say, I've had enough of this? I don't want to come back. Or are you saying that when we get to wherever it is that is beyond here, we think differently about it?
Okay. Again, great question. So let's be sure that we put a great big umbrella, if you will, over this whole conversation. And what I mean by that is the umbrella is that as a soul, we are required to grow and evolve. It's just like in most countries, in most parts of the world, as a child at a certain age, we're required to be educated.
Okay. However, so that, it's the prime directive.
That is absolutely right. It's the prime directive. And who, I'll answer my own question here, but who is responsible for the evolution of humanity? It is all of us that are incarnating on the planet.
As a professional and somebody qualified and who has clients, I know that you cannot betray professional confidences. You know, there are rules about those things. But are there any stories that you can tell me that people have told you that have made you amazed, that have you've regarded as absolutely remarkable?
Oh my goodness, many, many, many. So, so we'll stretch this even farther. And so one thing that I've learned over the course of the years that I guide regression is that there are souls that embody primarily on Earth, and they're, we could say, created or designed to embody primarily on Earth. There are souls that are created and designed to primarily not embody on Earth and function from other parts of the celestial realm, places, locations other than Earth. And there are also souls that are designed and created to be a part of the angelic realm. So through my years of guiding regression, and I don't tell clients they're going to give me this kind of information ever, because that's kind of my cardinal rule, Howard, is, excuse me, my cardinal rule is don't bias the session, Linda. So don't give some preconceived ideas to your clients. So I have come to learn over time that some of us incarnate primarily on Earth, some of us do not incarnate primarily on Earth and come from somewhere else in the celestial realm, and some of us come from a third location, if you will, that we call the angelic realm.
And can we be all of those things over time? Or is somebody who is, you know, designated to be on some planet somewhere, or in an ethereal realm somewhere, or down here on Earth, do you have to stay what your designation says?
Yes, because it's almost like you have X person who is born Caucasian. You have Y person who's born, an African American, a person of color, and you have, you know, Z person who is of Asian background, Asian heritage, and you can't change that. It is what it is. Yeah, it's purposeful. And what I think is so important for people to hear is there are purposeful intentions to be. So now I'm going to kind of toss out the terms that I have been given through regression. An earth-based soul is that soul that normally and almost exclusively incarnates on Earth. An interplanetary soul is that soul that comes from somewhere else in the celestial realm. And when they come to Earth, of course, I've learned this from my clients, so these are souls in body. When they come to Earth, they come to Earth for one reason. They come from healthy cultures somewhere in the celestial realm. That's an interplanetary soul. And lastly, angelic realm souls serve the divine. That's the purpose of the angelic realm. They too, on rare occasion, come to Earth. So why do I know this? I know it because of all the clients that I guide, but I know it because it is explained when I'm working with these clients. So what's their reason for being in body on Earth? Why is this interplanetary soul on Earth now? Why is this angelic soul on Earth now? What's their purpose? What's their nature? How are they unique?
Yeah, I've interviewed people who've done hypnotic regression, so-called, before. This is very different from that. You don't have people sitting in your chair saying, I used to be Henry VIII, or I used to be Abe Lincoln.
I do, but it's rare. Does that happen? Is the soul of Abe Lincoln in body on Earth? Yes, quite possibly, because that's a very advanced soul, and that soul among other advanced souls. But if we just speak about Abe Lincoln, the Abraham Lincoln soul is a rather advanced soul. That advanced soul keeps returning to Earth to keep working on humanity's evolution, as well as the evolution of the Abraham Lincoln soul.
Why do people come to see you?
Oh, so that's an excellent question. Lots of different reasons. Some people have a recent loss in their life, a recent passing in their life, and they're suddenly terribly interested in what happens when we die and where is my loved one. So they want to understand the soul. That's one reason. Another extremely common reason is people come because they want to know, for what reason are they in body? What are the purposes? What are the intentions of their current life? Other people want to understand unexplained fears, unexplained health issues, unexplained skills, those kinds of things.
So are you saying that somebody who might be scared of spiders, there might be something in a past life or a past incarnation that would explain that?
Totally. And you know, maybe something that would even resonate more with people are people that are afraid of being married, people that are afraid of having children, afraid of getting on a ship, those kinds of things, but they have no logical reason in their current life.
The Unexplained brings you Dr. Linda Backman. In the United States, we're talking about soul regression. We're talking about who you used to be, who you are now, and what you might be in the future. Three fascinating prospects. There will be people, I have skeptics listening here, and I have a degree of skepticism myself about all of this, who say this is all so unspecific that it can't possibly be true. It's not focused enough. It's not clear enough. What would you say to them?
To be honest, and this may not surprise them, I would disagree. And the hard part is, you know, if people, when they say it's unspecific, client to client to client, they are discovering their own past lives. They're discovering traumas in past lives. They're discovering accomplishments in past lives. Mm-hmm. It helps the individual client to understand themselves and know why they're here, why they worry about things that make no sense, why they're in a relationship with someone that, you know, may be challenging at times, but what's the point? And for what reason are they meant to be in those relationships?
Part of the purpose that they're here, if that's part of their programming, then surely them discovering that here is going to destroy the reason that they are here. If it's all a big progression like that, isn't that so? Aren't you intervening in something, if you believe in all of this, aren't you intervening in something that you shouldn't be intervening in?
I would say no, because the information that comes forward in a regression is what the spiritual guides of the client have decided is the information that's needed. And when that information comes forward, it's meant to assist the individual, the client, to move forward in their current life with greater detail about who they are and why they're here.
Okay. Is it safe to do this with people? I would worry enormously about guiding people back through traumas, just in case it has some kind of impact on them in the here and now.
Yes, a lot of people ask that question. And what happens is once we understand what the trauma is, and then I spend time when the client is not in the regression, focusing on, so what do you do with this information? How do you work with this information? How does it assist you in your current life? So it isn't just walk in the door, have a regression, and I'll say to people, I am now guiding virtually all the regressions remotely. So I'm not even, partly because of COVID, but so I guide people remotely. So they don't just come in, have the regression, and finish the regression, and we're done. I do a lengthy interview, and we do lengthy processing after the actual regression.
Can you be sure, because we referenced this fact, and it is a fact, that the human mind is a remarkable thing and we don't fully understand it. It's almost like exploring outer space, our inner space. Can you be absolutely sure that this is how it is, and you are not just unearthing the kinds of things that prompt within us dreams? I mean, I have to say that among many other people during this COVID period, I have had astonishing dreams. I had one last night. It was three-dimensional. It was multicolored. Mm-hmm. It was incredibly detailed. I had conversations in the dream. That, to me, proves that, you know, my mind must be a remarkable machine to be able to conjure some of that stuff up while I was sleeping, because that was definitely not in my conscious mind anywhere. Are you certain, to try and make this question a bit shorter, that you're not just accessing artifacts of the mind, astonishing ones at that, but artifacts nonetheless?
The information, Howard, applies too directly to the client and their current life. It's too specific to be made up. It's either they're going into a past life and they can, just as you've described your dream, it's somewhat similar. The details, the clothing, the movement of the scenes, and the content of the past life is overtly related to what the client is going through in their current life. There's a direct interrelationship, which is partly my role, my job, to help the client, to pose questions to the client after the regression to examine the relationship. But I've guided far more people than I could possibly count over the years. There is so much overlap of how do we plan our lives? Do we have soul groups? Do we belong to soul groups? So we get similar information about small groups of souls that we belong to, and those are the souls we incarnate with repetitively. We get information about names there's no way the person would have known that those souls were in their soul group.
Are you able to research back then? Do you do research back into people's recollections?
Yes, at times, yes. And I do that, and often I'll guide the client to do that, and they'll discover there was a man during the American Civil War that's, you know, had this rank and served in this militia. And so, yes, at times we do that kind of, you know, validation.
Does some of that come through our DNA, do you think? Or does it all come from some kind of spiritual realm, as you might say?
Well, if I understand what you're asking,
I'm sorry for not being clear enough there. I understand that I wasn't. You hear these stories of people who have organs transplanted from other people, and then they suddenly gain interest that other person, now expired, had, that kind of thing. You know, how much of this do you think comes from a spiritual realm, and how much might come through some sort of cellular memory?
My sense is it's all interrelated, that when we have past existences, past lives, we have what you might call soul DNA, or that memory or that content, that embedded circumstance that happened, and that gets transferred into our, you could say, our human DNA, so that our human and our soul DNA are all interrelated.
What about you, Linda? Have you done or had done any work on yourself? Do you know what you used to be?
I know a great deal, actually, Howard, about my past lives. I've studied that quite a bit.
Can you share any of it?
Sure. I know about past lives that go back pre-crucifixion. I know about certain past lives that have explained why I've traveled to certain parts of the world and wanted to go to a particular community and understand that. So I know that I've had more than one life that happened, what we might call in the times of the Old Testament or pre-crucifixion. I also know about, here's a question that gets asked of me a lot. In the last, let's just say, 100 to 300 years, I know of a number of my lives and life circumstances. For example, I had a life during the Holocaust and World War II as a French teenager that died in a concentration camp. And some of my lives overlap each other in time.
Were you able to research that life?
To some extent, yes. Yes. Yeah. So what I help people to do, as I've done for myself, is what's the sequence of our lives and how does that relate to life today? How does that relate to knowledge, skills, people, as we've talked about, health issues, and that sort of thing. So what's this trajectory of each of our souls?
What about we talked about consciousness at the beginning of this. We don't have a whole lot of time. Scientists at the moment are tremendously interested in what is consciousness. Does it reside within us? It seems, wondrous that this piece of meat in our heads can house all of that, this spark that is life, that is awareness. Or is it something else? I've always kind of thought that it may well be something external, or we plug into something. But, despite research being done at the moment, I have no evidence to suggest that. But what do you think is consciousness?
Well, I think what makes us conscious in these intelligent bodies that we call humans is our soul energy. And along with that, and you've probably had guests that understand near-death experience, or they're near-death experience researchers. And some of the NDE, near-death experience research, is utterly fascinating that the human person can be clinically dead, and yet they can describe what was going on in the room as there was the attempt at resuscitation. And I believe that is the perspective of their soul that is just disconnected temporarily from their body. So we have a lot of research going on.
And those people who have given you information about being interplanetary souls, or about the nature of interplanetary souls, those who sometimes arrive here, sometimes go somewhere else, have they been able to tell you about other planets and what they're like?
Yes, and in fact, it is extremely common, and part of the, you might say, goal or a benefit of discovering that a client is an interplanetary soul is usually when I'm guiding the regression, that client travels to their home location in the spiritual realm, and they learn the nature of life where they come from, because often those are people, incarnate souls, that don't understand their unique gifts and their unique challenges that almost always relate to where they come from in the universe.
How do you think all of that relates to modern reports of aliens, UFOs, alien abductions?
I think it's all related that we have had, I wish we could use different terms, because sadly the term alien for some people is just like, offensive, weird, uncomfortable, frightening, blah, blah, blah. So that I think it is all interrelated. And I have worked with thousands. My third book is all about interplanetary souls. My third book is regression content from interplanetary soul clients. So we've had wisdom from outside the Earth, if you will, embodied on our planet for a very long time.
Does it ever bug you in your quiet hours that, by definition, you're probably not going to get in this life hard scientific proof of any of this. What you can have is belief, and what you can have is the evidence that people deliver to you in those sessions that you talked about. Does it concern you that you're never going to have the kind of hard proof that a scientist would want?
No, honestly, it does not, because what I'm looking for as I work with each individual that comes for this type of work is these people are seeking to understand themselves, understand their life, gain details that feel valid. And because I've guided so much regression, I know as I'm listening how to, you might say, cross-validate or corroborate evidence about who they are as a soul and what relates, like they, something they said 20 minutes ago in the regression will fit with something they say, you know, 20 minutes later. But it's therapeutic. So no, honestly, I don't concern myself with, do we not have black and white science to back this up? Because there's too much repetitive information that to me is black and white case study science.
And the core of this, just as we wrap this up, is that having an explanation for something, why you might fear spiders, or, you know, why you're trepidatious about something here and you don't understand why, or why you're marriage phobic, or why you don't want to have kids, whatever it might be. When you understand that, you think it makes it better.
Well, I guess I would hazard to say, I know this sounds like I know what I know. I know it makes it better because I work with these clients more than once and we have ongoing conversation either live or by email. And so I receive feedback that it has made a difference for these people. And it isn't just like plucking information out of the air that is just airy-fairy, ungrounded content that relates to the client's current life.
Dr. Linda Backman, thank you. If people want to check you out online, where do they go?
They can go to my website, which is www.ravenlikethebird, R-A-V-E-N, heart like the heart in your chest, H-E-A-R-T, center.com, ravenheartcenter.com. And I'll just say, I know that my website is down over the next 2 or 3 days because they're doing a migration. So if anyone goes to my website, it's not up. Just please wait 24 to 48 hours.
It's all in the nature of IT. Linda Backman, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure. Thank you, Howard.
Fascinating conversation. Had some good feedback about that from the radio show. Dr. Linda Backman. More great guests in the pipeline here at the Home of the Unexplained, so until next we meet, my name is Howard Hughes, this has been The Unexplained, and please, whatever you do, stay safe, stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.